Hello geeks, welcome to episode 86 of the Scent Geeks podcast. And this is not any podcast, this is a top 10 podcast if you live in Macau or Latvia. But it's a, nonetheless, it's still a top 10 podcast. And that top 10 podcast is sponsored by Kajal Perfumes. And they are a brilliant house run by a brilliant set of guys, to be honest, with great customer service. So go and check them out. If you go to kajalperfumes.com, use the code GEEKS10, you'll get 10% off your order as well. So what more do you want from us? Jesus Christ, what more do you want? Anyway, let's get on with this podcast. My name is Steve. I've got a little YouTube channel called Frags to Riches. I'm not alone. My partner in crime for this podcast is called Chris, and he has a podcast, which is this one, and he also has a YouTube channel called Fragmental. It's been a long weekend. Chris, how the hell are you?
I'm really good, thanks, mate. I mean, damn, we go on.
I was gonna say that intro was flawless, wasn't it? I mean, you could if I had the energy, I'd have redone it, but fuck it. Yeah, how are you, mate? How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I was just about to thank the Macauans. It's probably not what you call them, but yeah. The Macau has given us a lot of love over the last couple of years, hasn't it? They've put us up there as number one and in top ten.
Yeah,
so
we've done well in Macau. We're number four currently in fashion and beauty section on Apple Podcasts. Wow. In Macau. We're number 10 in Latvia under fashion and beauty.
Yeah. So we've got a Latvian listener now.
Yes, we're top 20 in the Philippines.
Right.
I mean, this is normally we are higher in the charts, obviously, just after a podcast has dropped because the views, the listens are a bit higher. But so, yeah, we're probably seeing the tail end of the week here. But yeah, I'll take that. Yeah,
It makes me think of David Hasselhoff because he got massive in Germany for some reason, didn't he? Yeah. With his pop career.
Yeah, like huge. He was like one of the sort of biggest artists, wasn't he, in Germany? Yeah. And then like
he sang on the Berlin Wall when they were sort of tearing it down. Do you remember?
That's mental.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow, mental. What a life. He's odd.
Anyway, how's your weekend been?
It's been. We've not gone on holiday anywhere this weekend. Oh, you'll be pleased to know. So no Judith Chalmers in for me. We just went to Dolby Forest, which is a local Forestry Commission place that we go to with our mountain bikes, and there's playgrounds and stuff. So it's just great for the kids. But we've just we did a little bit of biking, but. We've got a new van, so we've got a new bike rack for the van. Right. And of course, we hadn't really fitted that when we were arranging to meet Helen's family at Dolby Forest. So when we were about to set off, we thought, well, let's put the bike rack on. An hour later, we finally had it on because we had to build this extra little section to it. And you know what it's like, you're looking at the instructions, you're like, oh, where's that screw gone? They're not giving us enough screws in that kit. Oh, no. And then we started putting the bikes on, and then we had to take the bikes off and then put them on again and then take them off because it was like some sort of intricate jigsaw puzzle because of pedals and handlebars and brakes and seat posts. They would only fit on in sort of one specific way. Once they were on in that way, they were great. It looks nice and compact and it looked tidy, but we spent way longer piddling about with bike racks than we did on the bikes yesterday. So that was
that's always the way. That sort of stuff always takes longer. I mean I can definitely relate because finally, I've been building an office this weekend.
So yesterday, you've gotten to the office build.
Yes, the garden office building has spent about 10 hours erecting it yesterday. I do like to spend some time
on
an erection.
That's a long erection, mate.
Yes, I like to dedicate time to my erections. Yes, so it is up. I've still got quite a lot of work to do. Just a lot of finishing bits. So it's structurally sound. I still need to, it's currently got some tarpaulin over it, like it's wearing a hat. So I need to sort of finish waterproofing the roof. I've got a lot of like sort of trim to do and a few sort of bits inside and stuff. And then ultimately I've got to paint it inside, get some carpet down, get some electrics in there. So there's still a bit of work before I'll be sort of recorded a podcast in there or anything like that. But yeah,
it's excited.
Good. Yes, it's up there now, and it's like, it's all the windows and doors. I mean, it's got proper like posh patio doors and stuff. It's all looking quite swanky. So yeah, I'm really excited.
You're like, so, I'm building somewhere to escape from the family. Yes.
It is going to be like a little man cave. So yeah, it's my little office. So yeah, really looking forward to that.
Does it take up much of a footprint in your back garden? Do you lose a lot of lawn by having that there?
No, because we've got quite a relatively big garden, and there was like one end of the garden I originally wanted just to lawn the whole thing, but when the sort of people that we got to do the lawn and the deck and everything, they didn't, annoyingly, they sort of went against my directions, and they left like a big sort of flower patch type thing, which the wife sort of quite likes, but I was like, oh, it's just fucking takes up this high maintenance. So basically, yeah, I've eaten into some of that, so we've just got a smaller flower patch now, so we haven't lost too much actual functional lawn. We've just lost a couple of bushes and things like that, and a rose bush and stuff, so we've not lost too much actually, so it's I'm quite pleased. So it's now more useful. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Getting in there.
And then, has it got windows?
Yes. So it's got like French kind of patio door, double doors on the front, and then a window.
Little terrace.
On the side as well. So
yeah.
But it is, where I've positioned it is basically under our willow tree as well. So the light is, it's a bit dark. So I do definitely need to get electrics in there, get some lights in there to make sure it's usable. So yeah, that's next on my list. So yeah, but now it's up, I'm quite excited now. I just want to get it done. So I might do a bit more work on it after, if I can. If it's just inside, I'll get some light in there. I might be able to carry on.
What, after this?
Might be able to just fit some trims, do some sealant around the windows, do some trims inside. If I get some lights in there, I tell you what's really handy is the old lighting you use for like YouTube and stuff. They're proper fucking good lights, those.
Yeah.
I've done that before, like when I've been painting, like indoors with the lights on, but you know, sometimes because you're there like white sort of daylight, they sort of quite natural light, so when you're painting you can see where you've been and stuff, so I've done that before.
So get your ring light on. Absolutely.
Yeah, get the ring lights, get the sort of fluorescent lights in there, so that'll be quite good. And then today, just to finish what I've been doing this weekend, we went to, it's like my boy's birthday soon, and he shares his birthday, one of his friends has got a similar birthday, so we went to as a little joint venture, we went to like a little inflatable bounce park type thing today, which was quite a good laugh.
And you had more fun than he did.
Yeah, they were sweating buckets. I sort of went on a couple of the things. I was fucking, there was one there where it was almost like the knockout thing where the thing just kept rotating round and you had to keep jumping over it.
Oh, yeah.
I went on that and fucking hell, I was like, I was done in, mate. My calves were burning from bouncing. I was out of breath. I was like, that's it.
I bet you were the daddy who goes on and like starts getting way into it and wipes out about 10 kids in the process.
I was taking it. I was like, I'm not going to get knocked over. So yeah, but that was good. That was good fun. But,
cool.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything else you've got to report for the week before we go on to fragrances.
I think I'm good. Yeah, we can get into the frog stuff.
Well, the only other thing I was going to mention, I did think about mentioning this, not because this is not some sort of attention grab. It's a bit weird, but I feel like I should mention it just because of from a previous podcast, and there shouldn't be any stigma around this. But like lately, I feel like my mental health hasn't been great. It's taken a bit of a dip, to be honest.
Okay.
So I've sort of been looking at it. Obviously, we did a whole podcast about mental health, didn't we? I'd love to reference the episode number if anybody's listening, but I can't remember what it is. No. So we should kind of reference it. So yeah. So actually, this week I actually went to I actually saw somebody a therapist type person about have a little chat, you know, and sort of, I won't go into the whys and what fors and anything. Like I said, I don't want this to be a sort of a cry for help or any sort of attention seeking, but I feel like it should be one of these things that you should sort of mention. You should, because it should just be quite normal. It shouldn't be any stigma. It shouldn't be weird. Do you know what I mean? I feel like it should.
Not at all.
It's I think we sort of discussed this when we did the mental health episode. Like, if you get, I don't know, stomach pains or chest pains, you'd go and see a doctor. So if your mental health isn't, you know, as it should be, you should also see someone. So I feel like, yeah, there shouldn't be any stigma around there. So I just wanted, just for the sake of it, I kind of wanted to mention it just in case it helps anyone. It might sort of encourage somebody to almost normalize it and think, well, perhaps I could benefit from seeing someone. Mm. I don't know. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, good for you, mate. If you feel like, you know, you need to... And you sometimes you just need to chat to someone, I guess, that is not part of your life, and you know, can sort of bring you out of your life and give you maybe a bit of a bigger picture on things and a bit more perspective. That's what I always, you know, saw that kind of therapy was for. And I mean, in the States, it's normal for everyone to have a therapist. Yeah, I think, you know, everyone funny, isn't it? Goes to talk. It's, you know, I don't do this, but I know that I should. But like you said, with reference to our bodies, that I would, everyone in the world would benefit from having a weekly massage of some kind, like a deep tissue massage. It would help with a lot of things and would probably keep a lot of ailments away, and it would prevent lots of injuries occurring that come from the tightness and things like that. But so if people are prepared to go and sort of keep on top of their bodies, and I'm talking about people who go when they've not got an injury, they just do it every week because they know it's good for their body. And therapy for the mind is like that. You're absolutely right. Why wouldn't we just go and do that? Even if you feel okay at a certain point in your life, it's still probably good to just go and check in with someone and talk about things and prevent you going into a little dip, perhaps. But yeah, good for you, mate. Thanks for sharing that. And I hope it helped you.
Yeah, and well, I hope, as I say, it just helps normalize it. And perhaps there might be somebody out there, even if it's one person, thinking, well, actually, perhaps I should do the same and just have a little chat with somebody. It might help. And, you know, it sort of, yeah. It's a bit cliche, but if we can help one person, then, you know, we've done our bit, haven't we? So, right, should we do some fragrance shit?
Yeah, let's do fragrance stuff.
Right, let me flick around. Shall we do some Kofis or something like that? Should we look in the arse?
Look in the arse.
So the audience recognition section, we'd like to delve into the arse. There's only been a couple of Kofis this week, so you can support us if you go to ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks, all one word. You know the score. So Ed has bought us a Kofi. He has also submitted a little scenario with his, so I won't read that out. What I'll do is I'll save the scenario to the end of the podcast, and we'll sort of finish on that, like we used to back in the day.
Back
in year one, I think, if now we're into sort of year two. It's changed it a little bit. But anyway, so before Ed mentioned his scenario, he said, "Hi, guys, loving the podcast. As always, keep up the great work." And then he asked us what his scenario is. So we'll save that for a little later on. Johnny has bought us another coffee. I'm getting a bit awkward now because I feel bad. Johnny, it's amazing that you're supporting the podcast. We love your support. You're a legend. But I'm beginning to feel a bit bad because you keep doing it and there's no need, mate. I don't want to be ungrateful because you're an absolute legend, but I almost feel a bit bad that you keep doing it.
Well, Johnny, you've been so generous. Thank you very much. I think you've given us about, you know, 2 years worth of Kofis in the last couple of months, so thank you for that. But greatly appreciated. Buy yourself some coffees too.
Yes, do that. And also, you've sort of posted in the Facebook group, because you mentioned in one of your Kofis, so I'll read Johnny's Kofis, that he's got content for his Instagram. But correct me if I'm wrong, I feel bad if I missed it, but I don't think Johnny's ever mentioned what his Instagram handle is, what his social media is. So I don't know if he's doing some fragrance shit on Instagram or whatever, but I don't think he's ever told us what his handle is. So I apologise for not kind of shouting you out, mate, because of course we would. You've been very supportive of our podcast, so we would
drop it in the Facebook group. Drop it in there if you've got some socials.
And we will not delete it. If anybody else starts to spam, we might. But we feel like, we need to support you because you've supported us. So by all means, do that. Anyway, Johnny says, "Not as generous as I try to be, but I've been buying content for my Instagram. As I say, I don't know what your Instagram is, mate. Thank you guys for so many laughs and keeping us up to date on not only your lives but the frag community. So thanks for that, Johnny." That's it for Kofi. Is there anything in the group that you want to shout out?
Yeah, there was a question here from Jonathan Moe, and he knows Enigma is my favourite fragrance. So this is what Jonathan wrote. He said, "Hi Chris, Enigma is one of my favourites too. I have the parfum, and though I love it, smells a little barnyardy in the opening. However, there is no oud featured in the fragrance. Do you know what gives it that funk? Thanks." So yes, we do refer to a little bit of funky oud, you know, when it's got a little bit of that animalic punch to it, as barnyardy. Oud isn't always barnyardy. For me, oud can often be quite sort of rounded and woody and fruity, rather than having that skanky barnyardy. Yeah. And I think Aaron Terence Hughes doesn't use oud in the barnyardy way. He seems to use oud in the sort of more woody, fruity type of way, which I really love because it just gives such body and depth to the fragrances. So it doesn't always have to be skanky. Now, with reference to Enigma, you know what? Jonathan, I'm sorry, but I don't get the barnyardy thing in it. I just sprayed it on my hand prior to starting to record, just to sort of try and dig into it, delve into it, and see what you might be thinking, you know, getting, which is the barnyardy thing. But I just find it a very, you just get that gorgeous cognac mixed with the vanilla, and then you get that Coke float thing in the opening, and then it settles down to into its resins and into its woods as well. But I don't get anything barnyardy at all. I wouldn't even describe the fragrance as animalic in any way. What I do get, and I wonder if this is what you're getting, I sort of get a bit of the old musty, dusty library sort of vibe to Enigma, which I think takes you into that old school gentleman's club sort of scenario with lots of you know, wooden furniture, balsamic wooden furniture, and sort of that oldy worldy type of smell. I do get a little bit of that from Enigma in a good way. I love it, actually. I think that makes me think that Enigma is this ancient sort of amazing smell that's been around for just such a long time, but it still smells amazing and unique and very sophisticated. So I do get this sort of musty library thing going on with it, but I don't get this oudy, barnyardy, animalic thing. You know, it works differently for everyone, doesn't it? So perhaps it's perhaps you've just got barnyardy skin.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've smelled Enigma, but I do remember. I certainly remember that sort of booziness, and I do remember that vibe where, like you say, it reminds me of an old school. Like, when I say a gentleman's club, I don't mean like a strip club. I mean, like you say, the old,
yes,
like an actual gentleman's club where gentlemen would go and they'd sort of sit, yeah, and chat and smoke and drink.
Bit of booze,
and,
yeah, bit of smoke, yeah.
Yeah, that
bit of leather, maybe, yeah.
But interestingly, I'd kind of get your input on this. I might have mentioned this to you before, but it's been a long time. As I say, I'm not an Enigma expert. The last time I smelt it was probably with you a couple of years ago. So it's, yeah, my memory of Enigma is faint, but I do sort of remember kind of what I got from it. But a couple of people have said that they found that Smolder smells a bit like Enigma, and they're like, sort of, well, not surprised, as it's Chris's favourite fragrance. But I didn't get that. I was sort of, it's one of the things I declared, like, when I smelt it, I was like, well, because people thought it might, and I said, well, no, I don't think it smells like Enigma, but a couple of people have said it does. So, I mean, I don't know, consciously or subconsciously, do you think there's any kind of resemblance to Enigma, or any influence from it? Obviously, it is your favourite fragrance, so obviously, yeah, it's going to have some notes and accords that are your favourite, which you may then obviously sort of want in the fragrance that you develop. So that makes sense. Mm. But as a sort of side by side, I don't really kind of get the Enigma vibe.
Yeah, I don't think it smells like Enigma. I don't think you could ever confuse the two.
No.
There are similarities, and that's because Aaron knew how much I loved Enigma, and he wanted to not recreate the smell of Enigma, but recreate the style. Because so Aaron thinks that it's sort of an Oriental French style of perfumery, and he wanted to tap into that for Smolder, which I think he has done perfectly. And I think it's much smokier than Enigma. I don't think Smolder is boozy like Enigma is, I certainly don't get that Coca-Cola float type smell, or that cherry Coke type smell that some people sometimes describe it as. I don't get that with Smolder, which I do get that with Enigma. So I can't say that when I smelled Smolder for the first time I thought, oh, it's quite like Enigma, because I didn't think that. But now people have sort of mentioned maybe there's a few, you know, a bit of sweet woodiness in there that is similar, but then there's so much similarity in so many fragrances, because often fragrances are citrus in the top, maybe a bit of floral in the middle, and woods in the base. And so there is going to be some similarities between a lot of fragrances,
yeah, of
especially ones that sit in the same genre, which Aaron wanted to tap into, like I said, that oriental French perfumery.
Well, there you go. It's good to get your input into that. So yeah, because I thought I'm not kind of mad. I don't sort of like I say, it's similar style maybe, but I didn't really kind of pick up on that. But it has been a long time since I smelled Enigma, so yeah, I'm certainly not an expert.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else from the from that sort of from the arse that we want to look at? I'm just kind of scrolling through.
I think we've covered the arse now, mate.
I think we've as always, we've done really, really. I'm just scrolling through. There's a few comments that people have sort of looked like they're on the back catalogue. There's a few comments about like a episode 56 talking about deodorant. I was like, fucking hell, I can't even vaguely remember that. So yeah, that I think the arse is well and truly covered. So there we go.
Yeah.
What you been wearing, Chris?
All right. Okay. Well, I've been testing a lot of stuff, actually. I've been wearing a few Hiram Grins, which we now have on looks, which
plug.
I'm very pleased about. Plug time.
We need to find a plug alarm. I think we need to. Yeah. If I edit this, I might, if I can be asked, I might drop a plug alarm in.
Just someone in the background just screaming, plug! So, yes, been enjoying those. And also, I've been enjoying some fragrance de Bois's fragrances this week. So I've worn New York Intense for the first time, which I'm gonna be honest, it's kind of blown me away a little bit. I loved
Ooh.
it's got this cologne type smell to it in the dry down, which reminds me of colognes that I associate with my dad when I was a kid, and he used to wear aftershaves and colognes, and so there's an element of that to it, but there's other things going on as well, woodiness, and it doesn't smell dated at all. But I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting this sort of really nice, classy cologne element to it. And I don't think many people on Fragrantica have said that they get that, but that's sort of what I associated it with. So I've loved that. And other ones from Fragrance de Bois. Oh, London Oud, which, of course, we discussed semen last week. They do smell very similar, yeah. And Amber Intense, Oud Noir Intense, which is along the lines of Tom Ford's Oud Wood. And this has blown me away as well. This is a beauty. Sahara Oud. Wow. That is a no messing about fragrance. That is just proper, full steam ahead, full power fragrance. It is an absolute beauty.
Is that your
so good
favorite? So what out of those ones that you've been trying this week from FDB, because I'm cool like which is your favorite if you had to pick one?
I honestly say I've loved them all. I think the quality of them is superb. It's a toss-up between New York Intense and Sahara Oud, if I'm honest. I think that at this stage I would struggle to pick between those two.
Okay,
but fair enough. Yeah, good brand, you know.
And
I've also tried another new one. I'm not sure if it's released yet, but Sarah Baker Perfumes sent me a sample of one called Laudo, which is a musky, chocolatey vanilla fragrance. It's a timely release with the autumn coming up. They've sort of created a fragrance that they know will fit into autumn nicely, and it's a beaut. It's a good one. It's another good one. And I think it smells quite different to anything else that Sarah Baker has in her lineup. So I've been enjoying that. I think that's pretty much it. I've done a lot of strip smelling, testing, but I think pretty much that's my week of fragrances that I've worn.
Okay.
So it's been a niche week, really, hasn't it?
That is a niche week. That's fine. I'm sure I'll balance it out.
Go on then.
Well, actually, I say that. The first one I'm going to kind of mention is, I mentioned it last week, I think, is Argos Parum from... And again, I suppose we have to say that we're not talking about the catalogue shopping place, Argos. This is...
I didn't know Argos made fragrances.
Yeah. So, the reason I wore it yesterday, and then because my brother was helping me with the office, and I think my brother might like this, because I think it takes, as I mentioned last week, it's got just a lot of elements of sort of classic colognes, but in a sort of modern way. It's kind of taken almost like the best of a few different ones and kind of brought them together and modernized them. And as I mentioned last week, it gets compared to sort of Green Irish Tweed, and it's definitely not a clone, but I can see where people are coming from. It's similar style and a couple of similar accords in there. So and I put it to the test. My brother tried it, and he really liked it, and did his wife. And I actually sprayed some on his skin as well. And then another thing, he was sort of quite impressed. So we worked on the office like all afternoon, and he was kind of like getting ready to sort of go home late at night. And he's like, I can still smell that. So he was sort of quite pleased. So there you go. It's
good. Was it good for you to sort of experience that projecting off someone else? Because I find it's a very different thing smelling someone else's cigars than getting wafts when you're wearing it yourself. I like it because it helps me get a bit more of a... gives me the full picture before I want to sort of review and talk about a fragrance if I've smelled it.
Yeah, I know
what
you mean.
Else.
Sometimes I get annoyed when it smells better on other people. I've always said this with Aventus. I've smelled Aventus on a few people and thought, that smells really fucking good. Like, on me, it just doesn't kind of tickle my fancy. What I would say is he literally just did one spray on his arm just so he could sort of smell it. And when we was kind of working on the office, I just kept getting wafts of it. It was performing quite well. I kept kind of picking it up. So, yeah.
It is a very accessible niche fragrance, I would say, Argos Pour Homme. I think it's the most accessible of the Argos line, actually.
Yeah, and he was quite impressed with the weight of the bottle. That took him by surprise, too, because it's only a 30ml, and it was like pretty weighty, and the cap is like a cosh, isn't it? But then we did end up going into that conversation we've had before around, because I told him how much it was. Just plug alert, where can you get that fragrance, Chris, if anybody was interested?
Well, I you know what? Coincidentally, they are now stocked at Lux Parfum.
Oh, what a coincidence.
My website. So there you go. You can find them there. And the only place in the UK, because if you try and ship them from the States, you're going to get large shipping costs and import fees. So we are actually doing you a favour by cutting that out of the equation and allowing you to purchase at the normal cost rather than with a big shipping cost.
There you go. Well, I told him how much it was, because I think it's about £110 for 30ml. Then him and his wife, we had this conversation, and they were like fucking hell, because they normally buy like designer fragrances. He used to rock Le Male quite a lot, Jean-Paul Gaultier and those sort of ones. So we then ended up getting into that conversation, like, well, you know, why are they expensive and cost of ingredients, and they only make fragrances, they don't, you know, it's not a designer where they sort of mass produce these things and all this. So we had that conversation. I wore that. And another one that's just kind of worth mentioning is I've got a brand new pickup for me. Is one you mentioned quite a few weeks ago, is a blind buy. I got a Le Nuit de l'Homme Bleu Electrique. So Clemence and I discussed this fragrance. She loved it. And then I looked it up, and I got a really good deal on it. So I had to ship it from France, but didn't get any sort of import taxes or anything like that. And really good fragrance. I've got a dichotomy of emotion, because when I first smelt it, I was really pleased that it smelled like the original. I was like, they've not ruined that DNA that's there. But then it actually smells like really similar to the original. So part of me thinks, do I need to own it? So it was a bit weird. I was like really pleased that it smelled like it. Then I was also really disappointed that it really smelled like the original, because I was like, it's just a bit fresher,
but
I think.
How do you think it compares in terms of the performance to the current version? Because you've got a current version and an older version, haven't you?
Well, I actually had a current sort of 2019 batch, and then I've got a 2011 batch. But I ended up selling my 2019 batch in the end, because I just was happy with the vintage one, because it's better. It outperforms the vintage, by quite a long way, definitely. Longevity is better.
That's interesting.
Projection's better. I mean, I wouldn't call it beast mode, but I'd say it's definitely outperforms the
But it's not that type of fragrance. It's not trying to be a beast mode fragrance, is it? It's just I just think it's a really good, refined, sexy designer type fragrance, but not a generic. designer fragrance. And I forgot to say, Steve, I actually did wear it this week because you messaged me to say you got it and you were wearing it. I was like, I'm gonna wear that again because perhaps we'll discuss it a little bit on the podcast this week. And I predicted right.
It's funny, actually, because through the groups, I actually somebody got a sample from me as well. And because I sort of posted in one of the Facebook groups, having a little chat with some people and going, like, you know, this is really nice, but it does smell very similar to the original. And someone's like, oh, it'd be good to try it. So I end up sorting them out with a sample. And he messaged me once he got it. And actually said, he's like, yeah, it's really similar to the original. He said, I said, yeah, that's kind of the only thing I'm not sure about. He said, well, to be honest, I've got like 2 vintage batches and a current batch. He said, so yeah, I don't think I need to buy this one. I was like, yeah, I know what you mean. That is the trouble. But it does smell good. So I think if anybody's listening and they currently don't own Le Nuit de Lhomme, perhaps this might be the one to go for. Or if you've the current version, because I think the current formulation is a bit more powdery, it's a bit lighter, so if you want something that's a bit richer but a little bit fresher, then maybe try this one. So
And if you don't like Le Nuit de Lhomme, then there's no hope for you. It's just such a likable fragrance.
It is such a likable fragrance. But I mean, I loved it when I first smelt it. But I mean, I still do love it. I still, you know, but I would say I've smelt so many others now and it's been around for so long. I don't get as impressed by it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I'm sort of sad by, because I remember when I first smelt it, I was like, shit, that smells good. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And now I'm sort of a bit sad that I'm kind of not as in awe of it in many ways, but I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's just age or if I've just smelt a lot of fragrances now. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember my mate who was sort of getting into fragrances, one of my best friends, he was getting into fragrances, and I didn't realise it at the same time I was getting into it and that I was starting my YouTube channel, and I didn't tell anyone at first. And I think I just popped up on his YouTube feed because he was sort of researching fragrances, and he's like, oh, what's going on here? Are you doing a YouTube channel on fragrances? I didn't know that. He said, I see Jeremy Fragrance has got some competition. And I remember the first time he smelt Le Nuit de Lhomme and he bought it, he had that reaction that you've just described. He was blown away. It blew his mind. He was like, oh, it's such a great fragrance. But he said, it just fades too quickly on me. I think it must have been a 2017 batch that he had. And he just had issues with the performance of that. And I'm a bit gutted, actually, because his interest in, I think he sort of had a little flurry of interest in fragrances, and then he dabbled and then he didn't go down the rabbit hole. He was like around the edge, teetering around the edge of the rabbit hole, and you know, some people just go down deep and get into niche and all that. He sort of dabbled around the edge and then ran back into the forest with his Le Nuit de Lhomme, and he's I don't think he's as into it these days, but you know, there's a thing that someone should put in the Facebook group. Are you a person that sort of was deep into it and then you're not anymore? Or I guess if you're not anymore, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast, but have you sort of gone too deep into it and realized that you need to pull back and sort of maybe sell a few fragrances and not watch as many YouTube videos? Because I think it can get hard to sort of to consume everything to do with fragrance. I think perhaps you get to a point where you get burnout as a viewer, not just a creator. Maybe as a viewer you can get YouTube. I think Nigel's talked that he's sort of started to not engage with fragrance content as much because he'd sort of seen it all before. So maybe a lot of people get to the point where it's like, well, nothing new here.
Yeah, I'm sort of,
but
we've discussed this. I don't watch nowhere near as many fragrance videos as I used to, but I do sometimes see posts in the Facebook groups of people sort of selling their collection. And it sort of always gets me thinking, because they've got, you know, some of these people that have been doing it for a long time. They've got, you know, 50, 100, 150, 200 bottles or whatever, and they're like, no, it's it. I'm kind of getting out of it. I've found, and it's that thing we've said before. They're like, I'm sort of keeping 20 or whatever, or 10, and then the rest are going, and they've managed to, you know, they've been in it for a few years, they've found their favourites and they're keeping them and getting rid of the rest, and I really admire it. And it does always make you think, well, what would I kind of get rid of? What would be the top 10 or whatever? It does kind of get you thinking, really. So
it must be quite a cathartic thing, because the fragrance hobby can completely take over your life, and you can spend all this money on fragrances and it becomes your only hobby and it's all you think about at work, and then I guess, you know, maybe you get to the point and you go, enough's enough now. I think I need to sort of pull back from that and sell a few and just maybe balance it out with having a few other interests too. So you see that a lot in the Facebook groups. People go, yeah, I'm sort of moving on now.
I guess it's the same with any hobby, isn't it, really? There's people, you know, that have got black belts in karate and then they sort of not done it for a few years or whatever. Or, I mean, I was sort of dancing and teaching salsa and stuff like that for years and I've not danced for ages. So yeah, it does make you wonder. It sort of reminds me of like these people must be able to, when they sort of do dwindle their collection down, it reminds me of a thumbnail that Tony at Fragdicted did once, where it's just like fragrances, completed it, mate. Like the old sort of take of this for Jay from The Inbetweeners.
Yeah.
It's just like, I love those people must be able to do it. It's like where they've had their 200, they've dwindled it down to their top 10 or whatever. If anybody goes, oh, you into fragrances? Fragrances, completed it, mate. That's what I just, they would be able to say. It's like, yeah, I've done fragrances. Tick that off the list. I've done that hobby. I've smelled all I need to smell. I've got my top 10. So yeah, it must be quite a satisfying thing.
It must be hard to do that, though, because in the back of your mind, a lot of people would be going, well, what if, you know, next week or next month, this amazing new fragrance comes out and blows everyone away and it's a big old game changer, and then you haven't completed it anymore, have you? There's still more to try.
That's the thing. You're always sort of looking. I think back at the start, though, you're always finding new ones that would drop into your top 10, where now, like, because I started doing that, my top 10 fragrances for life, and I did it, like I revisited it, and the purpose was, it's like it shouldn't change, but basically the reason I revisited it is like, well, since the last video, have I smelled any that would sort of bump the others off, that would make the top 10 and they would, you know, make some others drop off the list? And so I did that, and I did manage to knock a couple off, and it's changed. And I was thinking the other day, if I film that video again and revisit it again this year, like a year later, I think there might be two fragrances that might enter that list that I've smelt since that video that I would potentially put in my top 10.
Okay. Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've been wearing. So we're cracking off for time. Is there anything that's kind of caught your eye this week in the world of
Mr. Smelly's got a TikTok account.
I've only seen one video. A video got shared in one of the Facebook groups, and they're like, I think Dan's lost his mind because he's got a bit weird with it, hasn't he? He's going a different style. It's not the sort of...
Yeah, it's not the TikTok that I thought Dan might put out there, shall we say. But I think that Dan's thought, if he did put the TikTok out there that everyone thought he might, it probably wouldn't get views and wouldn't have the desired effect. So he's gone for this extreme sort of very, very strange off-kilter sort of... He's created a character called Paul who wears a string vest underneath a jacket and speaks in a very high-pitched voice, like his Captain Sensible character from his channel. Maybe it is. Maybe Paul is Captain Sensible. But I was watching it thinking, wow, Dan, I wasn't expecting that. I mean, like, what? That's a bit off-brand. Why are you doing that? But I had to watch it. I had to keep watching it. And that's what, you know, Dan is quite shrewd and he knows how to play the social media game. And I think he thinks that if he does something that's really stupid and weird, it's going to get way more attention than if he just did Mr. Smelly, but on TikTok, you know? Mm. So I think that's what he's doing. I mean, let's see what happens with it. Let's see if it's all about this character Paul that he's created, or if he sort of brings other new characters and different ideas into it. But he's trying to stand out on TikTok. I think YouTube perhaps has got to the point where it's difficult to, we've mentioned this a lot, haven't we? It's difficult to keep creating new and engaging content to keep the subs growing and to keep that AdSense money coming in. So perhaps he's looking to branch out a little bit to maybe, you know, grow in another platform, or to try and use TikTok to help him grow on his YouTube. I don't know, but I'll certainly be watching with interest.
Yeah, it's funny because Chad at A Gentleman's Journey did a post this week on Instagram. I'm just having a look now, and it was...
the advice for YouTubers.
Yeah, it was quite funny because one of them... I'm just trying, because I made a little comment about it. It was because it said, like, don't do... Oh, yeah, it's like number 7. Don't act stupid or foolish for clicks and views. So I sort of commented and went, well... Jeremy Fragrance is pissed all over number 7, hasn't he? I mean he acts stupid and foolish for clicks and views, and it has worked. But
So, the downside to doing that is you're going to get a few people saying, yeah, he's a knob.
Yeah.
But you've got to sort of accept that if you want to stand out and get growth, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it depends. If you want to have... I don't know, it sounds like I'm just sort of disparaging Jeremy Fragrance, but if you want to have integrity, if you want to be you and be 100% legit in yourself, then yeah, you can't really do that, because you can't really have respect and integrity by acting like a dick, unless you are a comedian and that is, you know,
yeah,
the purpose of your game, as it were. But then conversely, if you want clicks and views, obviously Jeremy has proven that that kind of works. And I sort of said that there's other people have done that as well. I said, like, Curly Fragrance is not to the same extent, but she's gone for that extreme kind of, you know,
ruffle a few feathers, yeah, sort of approach,
just
yeah,
put it out there, don't care sort of thing, and almost make this sort of almost like a character in many ways, and of herself, and sort of almost like a parody of herself, and just go full on. And again, it's working. She's growing. People are getting views. They find it entertaining. So it kind of works. I mean,
No, they can't. But I hope there's a ceiling to all this. I hope it doesn't just keep going on, because it is a little bit sad if you've just got to shout the loudest and act the weirdest to be able to get noticed on social media, rather than staying true to yourself and just being a genuine person. Talking about a hobby, I mean that's just the way it is, though, isn't it? You know, you've got to sensationalize things, you've got to create drama and conflict and be a bit weird for people to notice you, for people to start talking about you. You know, Dan does things to create drama so that he becomes the center of discussions, and you've sort of got to do that if you want to remain in people's minds and in people's eyes. If you want to grow on YouTube, if you're just happy to literally be sharing your passion with no... Yeah, it's always nice to grow, maybe make a bit of AdSense to pay for a few fragrances, but if you're just sort of uploading videos because you enjoy it, I don't think... Correct me if I'm wrong in saying this, but I feel like that's you, Steve. I feel like you run your YouTube channel because you enjoy creating content and sharing your experiences with fragrances. I don't think that, you know, you upload a video and go, right, I think this is going to make me a load of AdSense this month.
No, not at all. Fuck me. If I did, I'd have stopped a long time ago, because it's definitely not working. Yeah. But no.
So it depends what you want, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think any AdSense I get, which is quite little, is just I just treat it as like a little Brucey bonus, really. Every now and again, I get an AdSense kind of payment. It's quite small, and I just think, oh, it's kind of like a little bit of pocket money, or, you know, put that towards fragrance or something. As I've said a million and one times, if I look at how much I've invested in, even if I excluded the fragrances I've bought, because obviously I think that's kind of the hobby itself. If I just look at the equipment I've bought, and I'm definitely in the negative. I've definitely in a loss, but I enjoy doing it. It's a creative outlet for me. So yeah, that's why.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you like to create content, it, you know, doing a YouTube channel definitely scratches that itch. I find for sure. So there we go. Yes, Dan on TikTok, Mr. Smelly on TikTok. We'll good luck with that, Dan, and we'll be watching with interest to see how your TikTok career progresses.
Indeed, we will indeed. Yeah. Did you tell me Dan interviewed someone this week? Did he interview School of Scent?
Yeah,
or something?
Yes, he did his most loved fragrances series with School of Scent.
Oh, okay.
UK reviewer. So yeah, that was I caught some of it, but unfortunately I couldn't see all of it.
Did he did he ask him if he buys subscribers? I mean,
are we still recording this, Steve?
Yeah, I mean,
no, he not that I saw, but he did talk about his channel, and Dan did sort of highlight that he'd grown very, very quickly in a short space of time with a relatively low number of videos. I think he sort of put it out there in a way that would let the viewer make up their own minds about what was going on.
I mean, I could be partisan and sit on the fence and say, look, I've got no proof or evidence that Omar's buying subscribers or anything, but I guess this is a topical, we're talking about Fragcom, there's a lot of talk within Fragcom, and I think it was Mark at Robes 08 actually did a I think it was on YouTube, a YouTube community post, and actually tagged him and called him out for buying subscribers. He actually so Mark actually was very confident he was, and actually said basically he said it's kind of quite disrespectful for the people that are not doing that and they're grafting and growing organically and really sort of busting their balls. So yeah, I can't say if he is or isn't, but there's a lot of talk of it. So I was just wondering if Dan actually did ask him. I mean,
that's probably something Nigel might have addressed if he'd have done that.
Yeah, good old Nigel's like, he's a good like a little dog with a bone when he's interviewing. He's a good little interviewer in that regard. He does.
I'd like to see.
He does address the sort of more,
get straight to it, doesn't he?
Yeah,
doesn't beat around the bush.
But he does it in quite a nice way. But I mean, yeah. So it's interesting. So yeah, just as a reference point, School Descent's got, as of today, 31,100 subscribers, and he's done 78 videos,
which is a high number. That is a very high number of subscribers. And I think, you know, I'm not going to sit here on the podcast and accuse anyone of doing anything, because you know, I don't know who's right and who's wrong, but if people are buying subs, then it's sort of like taking steroids in a athletics race, isn't it? You're trying to win by taking something extra that makes you faster and gets you ahead of the competition. And it really does ruffle the feathers of other creators for several reasons, because people work so hard for years to grow organically and create their content and do it very honestly. And they have the satisfaction in that. And personally, I don't know what satisfaction anyone can get. The only gains I think people might think they get from buying subs is that they look more attractive for brand deals and for collaborations where they can earn money off them. So, you know, I'm sure there are brands out there that go, right, yeah, this account is over 20,000 subscribers, so that is our benchmark for, you know, sending free bottles to. So let's send them off. So I think brands really need to do their due diligence and research these accounts, any account that they're interested in working with, and look at the growth and does it look natural? Does it look organic? Because the problem is, and this is probably why Robes got so upset about it, about anyone buying subs, is that if it gets to the point where brands don't know who is and who isn't, they might just go, well, let's not send anything to anyone. So the people who are cheating may end up ruining it for everybody else, because brands will just get a little bit lost in the whole, well, we don't know. So I think the best thing is just to not do it. But obviously, it's something that you can do. It's available. You get adverts for it. You know, Instagram, buy Instagram followers, buy. You know, so I guess as long as they're out there to buy people, some people will always buy them. I mean, you're never going to stop it, are you? Unless YouTube. What I want YouTube to do is I want YouTube to sort of have a tool, an analytics tool that recognises that and goes, you know what, mate, we've just looked at your account and it's not looking good. It's not looking natural, that. So we're just going to close the channel. If they started doing that and becoming a bit stricter with it, then I think it would really discourage anyone from doing it. But I don't know if YouTube would ever do that, or if they've got the tools to. Surely they've got the tools to recognise if someone's bought or not. But I don't know. Just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. I think I mean, people do talk that apparently they can check to see if you've bought subs, but I never see anything happen with it. I never see people get their channels warned or deleted or whatever, so I don't know what the rules are around that, but
I think channels get closed. The only time I've seen channels get closed or heard about them getting closed is due to sort of copyright infringements.
Same, yeah.
But not to do with ever buying subs or views, you know.
Before we move on, we kind of got to wrap up, but the only thing I find buying subs, like you say, I guess the advantage is you can get sort of more likely to get free bottles and shit like that, but I don't even see buying subs as like taking steroids. I feel like buying subs is like buying a gold medal. I feel like you're not even helping yourself to achieve it. Yeah. You're just getting it, because surely that you're on YouTube and you sort of want to grow and get subscribers, because that the subscribers is recognized is almost a recognition of what you've done and you've achieved and the quality of your content and the effort you've put in, and as a result of that, people subscribe to your channel. You're like, oh, that's great, I'm doing well, because people appreciate it, so they're subscribing. So to buy that is like just buying a gold medal and going, well, look, I've got a gold medal from the Olympics. Like, but you literally didn't even do it. Like, you didn't even compete. So it's an odd
one. I wake up every day and go on my YouTube and look at my subscriber numbers and go, wow, over 50,000 subscribers. And just did that myself. I just organically, naturally put some bloody hard work in. And I love that feeling. Every now and then I'll go, ah, yeah, I'm proud of myself there. But if you haven't done it naturally, then how can you be proud of yourself in any way? And then how can you sort of be happy if you're not proud of yourself? Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's surely it can't be good for mental health, because you've got this channel and you're like, yeah, I bought it. the achievement in it?
Hot, odd thing. Anyway, there we go. So here we go, talking about the hot topics in Fragcom.
I just want to mention one last little bit of content before we move on. I really enjoyed Clemens's vlog. I love it when Clemens does a vlog, of course. Our fellow co-host, I think we can now call her on the podcast. She did a great vlog. She was invited to an event which launched the new Parfum de Mali fragrance. It's a female fragrance, and it is called Oriana. I haven't smelled it, but she enjoyed it. She liked it. And she got invited to a day out in the country watching a polo and drinking champagne. And she vlogged it. So if you haven't seen that, I'd highly recommend going to have a look, because I thoroughly enjoyed that video this week. And I just wanted to let you all know.
I've not watched it properly. I saw she did a snippet on Instagram. So I saw that. I was like, oh, I need to go and check that out. But I've not watched it yet, so I'll definitely do that. But sounds like that event was far too classy for Clemens. I wonder if she dropped any F-bombs. I hope so.
Probably.
Anyway, shall we finish with the little scenario that I teased upon earlier that Ed dropped us?
Yes, let's do it.
In his Ko-fi. So he said, quick scenario question, if I may be so bold. It is very quick. I think we've done one similar to this, but, you know, it's like a bit of a reminiscence here, reaching back to the archives. I've got a big rock concert coming up in a few weeks where I will be playing guitar to a packed out venue. Fucking get you, Ed, you're a bit of a fucking badass. It will be hot and sweaty. What do you recommend?
Oh, this is a hard one, isn't it? Because if it's like a rock concert, you sort of that sort of stuff, if it's like rock, you think, you know, something that's maybe quite heavy or boozy, but then if it's hot and sweaty, you don't necessarily want anything to be too heavy. If it's so, that's a bit of a... I'd go with Smolder if I were.
Oh, I think that's a great surprise
for all the situations. It's bright enough, but it's got enough depth. And, you know, when you're a guitarist in a rock concert at a sold out gig, I mean, you want a goddamn Smolder, don't you? For sure.
Well, there we go. Oh, there's a surprise. Have you got any
that's
others?
That's my easy way out.
Have you got any others that you might suggest? That's your niche. What about your designer?
Oh, okay. A designer. Well, right.
You used to do a niche and designer.
You know what? I did. Yeah. I mean, let me think. Yeah, I've really been in this year. I've really been enjoying Spice Bomb Infrared. I think that's a really good frag. I think it's smooth enough for an evening, and I think it's cool enough for a rock star. I think it's got a good performance. It's got a little bit of spice, so I think it'd work well in the evening, but it'd project nicely. I'm going with that one.
Okay, good shout. I was trying to think of something kind of a little bit boozy to go with a rock, but maybe that's a bit fresher. I mean, Bulgari's Man Black Cologne is one that I love. It's quite heavy on the tuberose, but it's kind of like it's almost like a spring summer version of Man in Black, which is so Man in Black would work, but it's maybe a bit heavy for the hot sweatiness. So Man Black Cologne could work if it lasted long enough. It's not a great performer, unfortunately, so you might have to sort of top it up, but I really enjoy that one, and it does sort of work when it's a sort of a bit warmer. As I say, I always think of it as a sort of spring / summer version of Man in Black, which has got that nice boozy rum accord, but it's kind of a bit fresher and stuff with it. So I think that could work. Unfortunately, performance isn't great, so perhaps you could layer it with something that might boost its performance. Don't know.
Oh, how about Stronger With You Absolutely? That'd be a good evening scent. And it's got a nice little rum, bit of rum booziness in there.
I've not smelt that, but I saw somebody posted in the Facebook group recently that, I think it was TJ, shout out to TJ, you listen to this, that he said this is an absolute banger. I think some other YouTube said it was really good, some YouTuber. And he said, yeah, I've got to agree with him, actually. I wasn't a big fan of the sort of previous one, but this is actually really good. He said it's not as sweet as the previous one, intensely, and the original, but he said it's like boozier. So he said it's really, really good, really, really rich and nice. So, yeah.
Well, guess what? Aaron Terrence Hughes rated it on my channel recently.
Ah, it was him who he referenced. He said, yeah, I've got to agree with Aaron Terrence Hughes on this. That was the YouTuber that he referenced. Yeah. So did he give it 10 out of 10, did he?
It was gave it a 9 out of 10, which for Aaron is like, you know, incredible. So
that, especially for a designer as well.
Yeah, really. He loved it.
Yeah, he did say that was who he referenced.
He does love Orientals, though.
Ah, fair play, fair play. Yeah, so I need to smell that one, because I did, because TJ did say that, yeah, it's not as sweet, it's not as gourmandish, it's just boozier. So I think I need to check that one out, because I did find the intensely was just a bit too gourmand for me. So, yeah.
So there you go.
Cool.
I think some good suggestions.
There we go. Excellent. Do you want to say anything, Chris? Do you want to shout out our sponsor before I say goodbye?
Yeah.
Or say anything else?
Yes, I will just finish by saying, if you want to enter the Kajal giveaway, Kajal Perfumes, of course, our podcast sponsors, you can go to their Instagram account. You can find the Scent Geeks post. It's got the Scent Geeks actually written on the photo. All you need to do is get that image, share it, tag Kajal in, and you're in with a chance to win either a full bottle of a Kajal fragrance or a discovery set. So it is a really easy way, and I think you stand a good chance of, I think you stand a way better chance of winning than you do from YouTube video giveaways.
Oh, definitely.
Simply because more people watch YouTube videos than listen to the podcast. So enter it, because you've got a really, you've got great odds to win. So I think it's, good. So I'll just finish, Steve, by saying thanks for another good frag chat this week, and a catch up on your life. And once again, thanks for sharing the mental health awareness little bit that you did, and letting us know that you were, how you're feeling, and that you went to talk to someone. And I just want to emphasize again what Steve said, that if anyone else is feeling a little down or a little lost or whatever, then do go and just have a chat with someone. Just go and, you know, make an appointment and have a chat, and hopefully it will make you feel better. So I think that is the biggest takeaway from this podcast. So thanks for sharing that one, mate.
No worries, man. Cool. So that's it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Do keep sending us your send us your kofis. We love that, your support that goes towards our kind of hosting fees, etc. But also send us all your stories, we revisit a scenario, so we could do that again, but we still want to hear your frag fails or little lovely touching moments or scent stories and scent memories and all that sort of stuff. We love hearing about that as well. Other than that, I think that's it, really. So thank you for listening. We'll be here again, same time, same place next week, unless Chris has got another holiday booked. Other than that, have a week, geeks. Bye.
We were the Scent Geeks.